This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Trick time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast that juggernaut known as Live Nation. Yeah, that's right. This $26 billion company, they're sponsoring the When We Were Young Festival, and the festival has a very, very massive lineup. There are a ton of bands, anything from My Chemical Romance to Fall Out Boy to a whole bunch of other bands that I'd never spend money to see. But anyway, we're toasting Live Nation because they don't need no stinking proofreaders for their official merchandise, okay? But maybe they will hire one. You see, if you buy official merchandise with the band lineup, you can enjoy the typos of bands that don't actually exist. Here's a few examples. If you're a fan of the band The All American Rejects, well, on the t-shirt you got, it will read The All American Rejects. If you like New Found Glory, yeah, they're New and Glory. One of my favorites, there's a band named We Are the In Crowd. Live Nation has it printed up as We Are in the Crowd. Another good one, band named Sleeping with Sirens. Well, if you look at the t-shirt, it's Sleeping with Syrians.
Jesus, how many do they have?
A band name. This is a sample. When you look at the band lineup, there's got to be like 40 bands, maybe. A band called Movements. Well, they're the Movements. Armor for Sleep is Amour for Sleep.
Oh, Amour.
They love to sleep. And finally, we have Daisy Grenade. But if you're a fan, you'll notice that on your official merchandise, it's Daisy Grenade. That's right. Just a few typos there. You're Live Nation.
Buy the shirt in the parking lot.
Right, exactly. Buy the counterfeit one because they probably spelled the damn band's names right. Anyway, Live Nation, good work. All that money, hire someone. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch, hola.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Jam on. And today we celebrate the last weekend of daylight on a Bad Choice Friday. We had the band known as Lynn and Steal My Sunshine taking on Katrina and the Waves. And Walking on Sunshine. Ted, how was the voting?
You know, closer than I thought it would be. It didn't go the way I wanted it. But, you know, in order to walk on sunshine, you got to steal some. But in the end, we're just walking on it.
Katrina and the Waves, you're winning. Here you go. Bitches, welcome to the weekend. You are listening to The Men's Room. 99.9 KISW Seattle.
99.9 KISW. We return to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
You know, when we get to this time of year, we talk a lot about Hallmark and their Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Hallmark has an age problem?
An age problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think so.
As far as the people watching or the...
Well, a lady
like,
that worked
people
for...
people dying who watched the network, or...
There's a 79-year-old casting director named Penny Perry. Elvany. She's suing them, the Hallmark Channel. She said she was fired because of her age. And in her lawsuit, she also claims the network had soured on a couple other people because of their ages. Holly Robinson Pete and Lacey Charbet.
Okay.
Holly is 60. Lacey is 42.
She's done from 42 to 79.
So you,
Hallmark is...
You don't cast a grandmother or...
Here's the other two. Lacey, Hallmark says, we're not going to comment it because, like they said, Lacey and Holly always have a home at Hallmark. We don't generally comment on pending litigation. While we deny these outrageous accusations, we're not going to discuss them. But anyhow, the point is, Lacey has a Netflix movie called Hot Frosty.
Oh, God.
But she's also in a Hallmark Christmas movie this year.
I would also say, look, just don't fish in the same pond. I mean, expand your horizons. There's all kinds of places that are hiring actors and actresses that if there's a role for you, you know.
Yeah, they'll give it to you.
Throw your name in the hat. I mean, why not?
I mean, who knows what's going on at Hallmark.
I only do Hallmark movies. No, you can do a lot of different things if you want.
Well, it's not that. I think once you get in with them, it's awesome.
So you're locked into like a 4 or 5 movie deal.
That's what it seems. It seems like they use a lot of the same, especially if you're like already like an established star, but you're not getting like huge movie roles. Then they'll, you know, they use a lot of them every year in all these different films and everything. You're like, hell, I'd love to be in a Hallmark movie.
It used to be what? Meredith Baxter Burney. That's what we always joked about. But like every year she was in a new movie for Hallmark.
Yeah. And I also think the kind of like, oh, you do Hallmark movies? Like, I feel like that's all kind of gone by the side a little bit now because, you know, Netflix just makes movies.
Yep.
Like, all these streaming services that make movies and everything. It's not like, used to be what? The big screen was you know, movies, and then the small screen was TV. But then, God, I hate to admit it, but, like, shout out, you know, you look at, like, Mark Harmon, I guess, when he went to, like, NCI. Like, there's a lot of people that were, like, people forget. Like, when you see Costner on a TV show, up until about 20 years ago, it was just unheard of. Like, big stars didn't do TV. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, a couple of actors that started doing TV, because you're right, it was, if you did movies, going to TV, oh my God, they thought less of you. And I don't remember the actor, but the actor said, look, I like to act in the beauty of TV. Steady paycheck, man.
Gets my mom to exercise. My grandmother will sit there and watch Hallmark Channel and the movies all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll talk to my mom, like, what are you doing? I had to get out of the house. I needed to take a walk. Why? Grandma's been watching Hallmark all day. I've seen this movie 5 times. It's not a very good movie. She doesn't remember seeing it, but we watched it together.
Right.
So I just had to get out of the house. She won't let me change the channel. I'm like, okay, fair enough. I'm glad that Hallmark is making you exercise.
And also, look, like Ted said, like my cousin, she has some other things going on, but predominantly she does movies for Lifetime, which to me is the same as Hallmark, just different name, right? Mm-hmm. Probably does 3 movies a year. She gets a pay. She knows what she's doing. She understands what the movies are. And she's like, but I have fun.
Yeah.
And if the movie sucks, it sucks, but I enjoy acting.
That's not in her control.
And that's the thing.
Right. You're still doing what you want to do.
Yeah. That is her entire point. And she's like, look, man, I hooked up a Lifetime. And like you said with Hallmark, once you're in their umbrella, they will come back to you. Unless you do something stupid, and she's just not that person. So she's like, yeah, dude, I get these gigs. I act. It's cool.
Which also isn't that crazy. I mean... I'm trying to think of the director's name. Like, he doesn't make a movie unless Depp's in it, right?
Oh,
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
Either Depp or his wife, Helena Bonham Carter.
Yep.
And look at who's the guy that did Interstellar and all that? Christopher Nolan, right? There are a handful. He will always work with. Who's the guy that plays Venom?
I don't know.
I can't think of his name. He'll work with that guy, whether it's the Batman movies, whether it's not Interstellar, what's the other one he did with DiCaprio? Oh, man, the big dream one. And I cannot think of the name. Crap.
I mean, Scorsese works with the same guys. He made a movie called The Irishman and just hired Italians.
So does Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got his troupe. He uses them.
So, I mean, I think it's the same thing. Like, you get in with Lifetime, you start making movies for him, they're like, hey, here you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do they film, though? When she's in there, do they go to Hollywood or are they filming on other spots?
You know, honestly, I don't know, but I think it's all soundstage in Hollywood.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, and I read a little blip on this the other day. There was a story, Ted, that was Liam Neeson. I don't know how old he is.
70-something.
But he's saying, like, this year will be, basically, he's done doing action movies. Which, you know, it's not that I don't like Liam Neeson movies. The action movies, I can take or leave. As long as it's a good movie, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom blip said... He just got done filming the Naked Gun redo.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And apparently,
nobody could keep it together on the set just based on the fact how dry and how funny he was and just the dialogue. It took them forever to shoot stuff because nobody could keep it together. Like, there'd be laughs off camera in the right. middle of lines.
He is shockingly. I've seen him in a few things, like, kind of making fun of some of his roles.
Yeah.
I think he hosted SNL, too.
Like, I mean, that might be...
He is good.
That might be one that gets my ass in the movie theater seat.
I read the same thing you did. And you just don't feel like you would hear that about Liam Neeson, because it wasn't him saying it. It was one of the co-stars saying,
Variety had a whole article on the whole thing.
They're like, dude, it was hard to do the movie. You don't think anyone's going to compare Leslie Nielsen in that type of role. And they're like, dude, he crushes it.
I just hope, if you're going to redo The Naked Gun, like, Leslie Nielsen was awesome in it.
Fantastic.
There's a bunch of other stars in it, too. A lot of cameo stuff. Like,
yeah, O.J. Simpson.
I just can't remember who it is.
Yeah, I mean... But for me, I just hope they keep the stupid humor. I don't know why, to this day, one of my favorite jokes, and I think it was in the first one, it could have been in the second one, was he's in a restaurant, he ordered a black Russian. It's just a giant black dude with, like, a Russian hat just stands next to him. And they don't even acknowledge
it. Right, that's it.
That's the whole... Right? That's the whole joke. I tell you, I'm like, God damn, that's funny. All right, you know what? We got Halloween coming up around the corner.
Yep.
I'm just going to break it to you, folks. It's gonna be a wet weekend, all right? So I have a list of some of the best slasher movies of all time. I've assumed, you know, like, look, it's going to be pouring down rain. You got your sporting event you want to watch, but I imagine a lot of people, this is kind of that weekend, like, all right, you know what? Screw it. Put on your sweatpants. You're going to watch a scary movie, order a pizza, eat some chips and dip, and have it.
Order your $50 pizza.
I like how you treat watching a slasher flick much like watching football.
Well, I'm not going to watch them. They scare me. I'm going to watch the Cougs at 7:30 tomorrow night while it's pouring down.
San Diego State?
It is San Diego State.
All right,
so here's the top 10. Let's see how many of these we've seen. Number 10 on the list, The Burning from 1981.
Have not seen it.
I do remember the movie.
Really?
We were not allowed to watch it.
I don't remember the title.
I do, yeah.
Slasher film, also.
I'm 11 years old. That thing came out. Everyone wanted to watch it. Everyone did, except for me. I was not allowed to.
Yeah. Or you have an STD.
The Burning.
At 11? The Burning.
Oh, The Burning. I only had that feeling once.
April Fool's Day from 1986.
Did not see that one.
No. Nope.
But I do remember that title.
Well, slashing's not a joke, dude.
April Fool's.
We're getting closer to the ones you'll know. Number 8 on these are best slasher movies of all time. Maniac, 1980.
Maniac. So it sounds like the 80s were the slasher decade.
I think it was, man. Because you got to remember,
for
Halloween
sure.
kind of exploded onto the scene late 70s, and that became a cash cow.
I wonder if these are actually good movies to watch, or it's just the scare factor. Or the slasher.
Well, right. I feel like slasher films... are a little more, like, I'm more apt to watch a slasher film than just, like, a creepy Halloween
movie. Right, because it scares you in the moment, but the movie itself's not scary.
Number 7th on the list, Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you mean I have to spend Christmas with a black family?
Renamed it Kwanzaa Mother.
Mom, why?
I'm not soulful, I'm scared.
There's Leslie Nielsen, hanging out of the black family.
I know. Why does a Black Christmas have to be a scary film?
Drinking a black Russian.
All right. Now, one I clearly remember because I was in high school when this came out. Scream, 1996.
Yeah, of course.
That's when I'd sit down and watch again.
And this sounds bad because I know people were being killed, but, like, it was a fun movie.
It is.
And you hate to say, like, oh, no, people are getting murdered. It's not that, but somehow they made murder fun.
It's a Fleetwood Mac song.
I laughed.
Ooh,
I cried.
You make murder fun.
Another classic on the list from 1974, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay. Yep.
I don't
even know if you call that a slasher flick.
Exactly.
You can
laugh through that. Certain elements of that movie, too.
Certain elements.
Because it's so ridiculous.
I'm not sure I've actually seen that one.
It's not gonna be a waste of your time.
Okay. Friday the 13th from 1980.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
You know what? You're right. The 80s were like prime time. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Of course.
1984.
Okay.
That one was a little different because people didn't want to go to sleep.
What are you going to do, man?
I'm going to freak me out. Well, you're going to fall asleep. You're not going to die. Relax.
Freddy Krueger's coming for you.
Yeah.
I'll just never sleep again.
Yeah.
Number 2 on the list, Psycho from 1960.
Yep.
That's one I'm not sure
about. It's not even really a slasher flick. There's a slasher scene, obviously, in the shower. That was more cerebral. And at the end of it, you're like, homeboy is crazy.
Yeah.
You just don't see the ending coming.
I guess that was all, but that's probably the beginning of all this.
Oh, for sure. Hitchcock, he could barely get that movie out in theaters. Because they're like, we can't show this.
The birds freak me out.
Well, yeah, Psycho is, I mean, most of his movies are just disturbing as hell.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, good point. He's kind of known for that.
And then number one on the list, Halloween, 1978. Again, scary movie, but like I said, that for some reason, Halloween, at some point in the next week, I will sit there and watch at least part of that movie.
Yeah. And not terribly scary, a little creepy, but mostly just make you jump out of your seat. But I'm not going to stay awake at night on that one.
But I'm with you. Watch a slasher movie. Don't watch The Exorcist. Don't watch something that legitimately...
The Exorcist is not fun.
It's going to just, you know...
No, The Exorcist is going to scare the crap out of you, and you're going to think about it when you sleep.
Right. It will bug you. Where, yeah, slasher flicks, you're like, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't watch anything that... Any scary movie that's, like, based on a true story, I'm with you. Like, don't watch it. People love that.
Have you seen Amityville Horror?
No, but I saw the first one.
How about Poltergeist?
What do you mean?
The first or not Amity. I'm thinking about that little scary doll.
Oh, wow. Conjuring Annabelle.
Yeah, right. I saw The Conjuring as I was dating a girl. She wanted to watch it. It was horrible. I barely sleep that night. No, Amityville Horror Show I've never seen.
Poltergeist?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
That's kind of a freaky one. At least it was when I have not watched it as an adult, but right. I remember it was pretty memorable as a kid.
Because little kids make everything creepy. By the way, someone on the text line says that is completely incorrect, Thrill. If you look at the National Historic Film Registry, the movie Psycho is registered as the original slasher film as far as the Psycho by Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay.
I just don't perceive it as a slasher film. I know there was the shower scene, but after that, didn't seem like a whole lot of slashing going on.
Well, and like I like American Psycho. I mean, I guess he got a sledgehammer some people to death, too.
Is that
not a slasher film?
But Halloween's one of those things where you have all these Christmas specials, and there's a couple Thanksgiving specials out there, but when it's Halloween, it's more of just the movies.
Spooky, right?
Yeah, it's just the movies. It's not like there's not like a half-hour Peanuts Halloween. There's not...
No, there is.
The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
That's right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the spooky factor.
No, nothing like that.
No, and I will say, Halloween, I'm kind of impressed. Like, people put up decorations and stuff now for Halloween as well.
They absolutely. And it's funny because, like, you'll look at your neighbor, and right now there are zombies, there's hanging people, there's skeletons, there's gargoyles. That same house in 4 weeks, Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman. I mean, it goes from, we're going to kill you, to, hello, everybody, happy holidays.
Yeah. You know what we need to do? We need to start decorating for Thanksgiving. What about Thanksgiving lights?
I'm going
to
string up a bunch of turkeys outside of my house. I'm just celebrating a holiday. Does that make you uncomfortable?
Dead turkey hanging in the yard.
Well, like you put, you know, like that old like wicker basket, you know, like that thing shows up.
Maybe a cornucopia.
Maybe you tape that to your door or something. But I'm like, why don't we put up Thanksgiving lights? Halloween lights.
Black and white pictures of potato famine.
There is one house not that far from our neighborhood, and these people just grow these giant pumpkins, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can go by, but like I'm pretty positive they know exactly what they're doing. Because if you walk over there and look at him, it's like you won't be standing there more than 2 minutes. Like the pumpkins? Like, hey, he's good. You grow these? Grow them every year.
Oh, so they're waiting for you to show up.
Please, look at
that. By the way, is there a holiday that a slasher film is not covered? Right? Because they've done, you know, Christmas, they cover Thanksgiving. Obviously, you cover Halloween. They do Valentine's Day. I guess maybe like Mother... I don't know. Is there a Mother's Day slasher flick?
Is there like a Easter Bunny slasher?
There's got to be. There's the Easter bitch.
There's the movie where the Glenn Close boils the rabbit in the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, the affair. So that'd be a great Easter movie for the kids.
Peter Cottontail turns deadly.
I remember watching that movie as a kid going, if I get married, I'm never cheating on my wife.
And killed a bunny.
Why? Because of this movie.
Right.
Not because I never thought of it. Just this movie.
I would be scared to piss out of a lot of people. Like, ooh.
All right, let's see. You got some good stuff on this weekend. If you're a fan of baseball, the World Series starts tonight. That's the Dodgers hosting the Yankees.
That's right.
You know, let's see some long balls.
It's going to be a good series. I believe it'll be a good series.
You got a couple of random college football games on there tonight. Tomorrow morning when you get up, you turn on game day. They will be in Indiana. So will the Huskies. It's going to be a tough one for the Huskies. I mean, Indiana's really good this week. Huskies are coming off a bye. I don't know. Indiana on paper should beat them, but come on, Huskies.
No, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Paper's paper.
And as we talked about on the Appy Hour, Notre Dame and the Naval Academy.
Notre Dame and Navy is a good one. I really hope Navy beats them and Army beats them. I mean, I like Notre Dame to lose, but I want to see that. I know Mizzou and Alabama are playing. A lot of people are wondering, yes, Maryland at Minnesota, FS1, 12:30. Also, you Coug people, good news. Have a fun day Saturday, then Saturday night, turn off the slasher film, keep the pizza and the sweats. Cougs are playing at 7:30 p.m. Against San Diego State.
Blow that Aztec death whistle.
Also, hang on, I was going to say, and then Sunday, of course, you're going to get up, you're going to watch some stuff, and then your Hawks are hosting the Bills. That's a 1:05 kickoff.
Okay. Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
Hello, Thrill here, filling in for our very own Mike Hawk. Let's start with the Menendez brothers. They're getting all kinds of attention these days thanks to the Netflix special. But In real life, an attorney for the Menendez brothers believes they can be home in time for Thanksgiving. This after Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon announced yesterday he will be recommending that the pair, who are currently serving a life sentence in prison without parole for the 1989 murders of their parents, be resentenced to 50 years to life. So what does that mean? Well, a judge is going to rule on a resentencing at a hearing, and Garcon expects to be scheduled within the next 30 to 45 days. Now, if Lyle and Eric Menendez are resentenced as recommended, it will fall to a parole board to decide whether the release is appropriate. Now, because the brothers were under 26 at the time of the murders, Lyle was 21, Eric was 18, they'll be considered youth offenders, making them eligible for parole immediately. So one, being eligible for parole does not mean that you'll be paroled. And two, youth offender, they were 21 and 18.
Yeah.
So if you murder someone in California, but you're under 26, it's like committing a felony anywhere else, but you're like 15. Who knew?
Huh.
That is so
I told
weird.
You, I've been watching that show, but I had to stop. It's really bad. There's no denying that they killed their parents.
They don't deny that.
Yeah.
Right.
But the stuff that went on in that house, it's alleged, it's just awful. So we were talking about last night, it's not like they just did this just to get money. Like, you're talking, you know, getting molested, this and that. So I'm like, they did their time.
They did their time. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happened. My wife, I believe she completed watching it. I saw maybe two or three episodes. It is what it is. I just don't know how much creative liberty they've taken with it, because it was so over-the-top ridiculous. But either way, the case is the case. So who knows, man? They might actually get out of jail.
Sure.
They've been there since, I want to say they got sentenced, 91 maybe? Because the murder was in 89. Then there was a mistrial. and then maybe 9 months after that, I'm regurgitating all of this from the Netflix special, but they had to do a second trial. That's when they got convicted.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I hate to say it this way, but that's like the glory days of court TV, is that trial, and then OJ.
And then OJ, man. And you're absolutely right. That launched a whole different genre of television. So thank you, Menendez Brothers, for that. I mean, if you like court TV, thank them.
Right, it was like Baby Jessica, basically, is the reason we have 24-hour news stations.
God, you know what, man? You're right. It's weird. You know what that being said? We're getting old.
We are old.
We have a lawsuit to talk about. We're talking about Seattle's own Alaska Airlines. A new lawsuit claims that Alaska Airlines is responsible for the death of a dog who suffered breathing issues after being booted from first class. We know how ridiculous that sounds.
I've had that happen to me.
One, Michael, because we didn't have tickets.
Hold on!
This is the big one.
What do you mean I'm moving out of first class?
If you know anything about bulldogs at all, they have breathing issues because they're bulldogs. But as the story goes, Michael Cantillo of California says he confirmed with the vet that his two French bulldogs were healthy enough to fly from New York to San Francisco before the five-hour flight. But he says he purchased two first-class tickets for him and his father to ensure adequate space for the dogs, who'd be able to board the flight early and avoid passengers who might trigger their anxiety. All went smoothly until just before takeoff, when Cantillo says he was told to move to coach, quote, for safety purposes. Now, he relayed his fears that the move would be extremely dangerous for the dogs and their carriers, who had become anxious and excited, leading to extremely dangerous breathing and heart problems, which could be lethal for a dog, especially right before he changed altitude. That's according to him. Now, an airline employee allegedly ignored everything that was said. So following the move, the three-year-old dog named Ash immediately started to breathe very, very quickly. Cantillo soon noticed that Ash had stopped moving but could not check on him until after a certain altitude had been reached. Well, the dog died, leaving a body that was entirely in rigor mortis by the end of the flight. That's according to the lawsuit. And the lawsuit, they're alleging negligence, negligent hiring and supervision, and breach of contract. As Cantillo and his father wept, no one stopped to show concern or offer condolences or show the slightest bit of compassion. No flight attendant did complain, quote, now you're going to blame us for killing your dog. Well, oddly enough,
that's exactly what happened.
That is exactly what happened. But you know, while we're talking about pets, do you think people should be allowed to use sick days to care for a sick pet? New York City might make that a thing. A new amendment would allow anyone to use sick days to take care of their pet. Now, right now, you can only use them if you or someone in your family is sick. But the basic argument is, hey, man, pets are family. So if you got a cool boss, they might already allow it. But this would be written into the city's bylaws. So companies would have to say that it's okay. It was just proposed this week, so it's not happening tomorrow. But we'll see if it passes. But while we're talking about pets, a new study at Michigan State found that having pets might not make anyone any happier. So they said early in the pandemic, May of 2020.
Yeah, because he took all my sick days.
Researchers talked to over 750 people three separate times to gauge how well they were coping. Well, in general, pet owners said their pets were definitely helping by offering companionship and affection. But they also mentioned the downsides, things like cost, worrying about their pet's health, and how they could be a nuisance while working from home. So in the end, the study found that it was a wash. People who did not have pets, they were just as happy overall. Quote, people say that pets make them happy, but when we actually measure happiness, that doesn't appear to be the case. So the working theory is that people without pets, they fill their lives with other interests, and that stuff might make them as happy as your pet would. So in other words, it's not that your pet makes you unhappy. They're just saying if you didn't have a pet, you'd do something else to occupy the time. Let's talk McDonald's. They've been in the news lately after an E. coli outbreak, and they said specifically from the onions that they put on the Quarter Pounder, I believe it is.
At least they identified the source.
Okay, so they identified the source, but here's the thing. It's been all about McDonald's. Here's the crazy thing. As a result of this, an abundance of caution. Burger King, KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, all pulling
onions. The Yum brands buy onions from that location as well.
Yeah, they're pulling onions from the menus at some locations just in case. A Burger King spokesman said about 5% of the chain's locations are affected because they get onions from Taylor Farms. That's the supplier suspected of being the source of the outbreak. But he did add, Burger King has not received any reports of illness linked to restaurants, nor has the company been contacted by health authorities. Meanwhile, Yum Brands, which operates KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza, they said they're pausing the use of onions at certain locations out of an abundance of caution. And on behalf of everyone, thank you. All right, we're running out of time, so just real quick, if you plan on going to the movies, Miles, Venom, The Last Dance coming
all
out, buddy.
Right, Venom.
Just wanted to let you know.
Bitches, enjoy the weekend. Grab a Men's Room IPA in the bright yellow can. Yeah. The lovely Jolene's coming up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Aw, oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.